I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News, where it is time for this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Keeping athletes healthy can sometimes be a challenge. Injuries and unforeseen circumstances are almost a given in the daily life of these competitors. But as you're about to learn, it's not a one-size-fits-all proposition, especially for women athletes. We're taking a closer look at the Kentucky Active Women's Health Initiative, a specialized program specifically tasked with keeping women and girls in sports engaged and healthy. Dr. Greg recently spoke with Dr. Dee Degonski of the University of Kentucky Sports Medicine Institute about the AWHI. It's one of four major research areas housed at the Sports Medicine Research Institute.
The Active Women's Health Initiative is part of the Sports Medicine Research Institute, and that's within the College of Health Sciences. And overall, that institute, we have four initiatives. So the Active Women's Health Initiative is just one of those four. And across the board, our goal is to optimize performance and injury prevention for active people. So it also includes active duty in veterans, it includes athletics, jockey and equestrian, and then the Active Women's Health Initiative.
Mm-hmm. And regarding active women's health, looking at women athletes, are there considerations that their trainers, their coaches themselves have to take into account that maybe, I'm thinking of musculoskeletal issues, that type of thing, that would be different than men's sports?
Yeah, so the directors of our initiative, we have two co-directors. That's Dr. Mary Lloyd Ireland, and who's an orthopedic surgeon, and then Dr. Hannah Hoke, who is an athletic trainer and is now in a professor role here at the University of Kentucky. They have a lot of expertise in the research and education related to athletics and sport-related injuries, and we don't know as much about women versus men, sex, and how that is the differences between men and women, and how they should be training, and how they should be, how we should be treating, preventing their injuries. And so our team is really focused on trying to answer some of those questions through research, and then do some injury prevention that would be different for girls versus boys if it's needed and when it's needed.
So we're talking about translational type research, where perhaps in your institute you're doing studies on women and men athletes and different ages, and looking at maybe for a particular age group or sex, some different types of injuries that they might be heir to, or different techniques in training that can help.
Right, or sometimes it's by sport too. So mm-hmm. we see different rates of injury by sport or by training methods sometimes. So we are in the very early stages of trying to figure out what are mm-hmm. those differences, and how over the course of an athlete's experience, how do we make sure that they are able to maintain their activity and that they are having safe, injury-free sport experiences, ideally.
And as part of your research, we talked offline a little bit, I know you're interviewing a bunch of different athletes at different stages of life, and is that a sort of a qualitative attempt to gather, or quantitative as well, mm-hmm. attempt to gather data as part of the institute?
Yeah, so that effort, when the Active Women's Health Initiative really has three approaches that we're using. We have our research efforts, we have our outreach efforts, and then we have educational efforts. And so the research, we're trying to answer those questions, like, are there differences between men and women in their injury prevention or recovery needs? The education, we're trying to train our next generation of clinicians and practitioners, health practitioners, who are able to take care of both male and female athletes in the way they need to be taken care of. And then the third prong is that outreach effort. And so really the podcast, the Champions of Active Women podcast that you mentioned, is part of that outreach effort, so that we are sharing the stories of women who have been active, some who are transitioning from not being so active to now being active, and what that process is like, to give voice to the stories of active women.
And are you still soliciting interviews? If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, to offer their story? Is there a way they can do that?
Yes, absolutely. So they could reach out to me or anyone on our team. And right now we're sharing most of them on our Facebook page, and we'll have a new platform for sharing them soon. But for now, they're housed on YouTube, and we're sharing them via our social media pages. But they could certainly reach out to me individually if they think they have a story to share, and we welcome that.
Is there anything we've not covered about the initiative that you would want our listeners to know?
Yeah, I think we are really interested in keeping women and girls active over the course of a lifetime. And so for us, one of the reasons that we're doing this is because we see that girls and women are less likely to be active than men and boys across the whole lifespan. And one of the driving factors are injury and injury experiences that sometimes change people's trajectory and their activity levels. And so we're hoping that with this initiative, we can keep girls and women active for a lifetime and do that by better understanding their injury-related needs.
And I guess there are also sort of societal customs from the past that we also have to be aware of. I was just talking with somebody the other day. I did not realize that Pat Summitt, the famous women's UT basketball coach, had played an integral role in a lawsuit against the TSSAA, the High School Athletics Association in Tennessee, because, and I remember this as a kid, women could only play half court in high school. They weren't allowed to play full court basketball, yeah. And we're just talking 40-something years ago.
Pretty recent in our history, and yeah. I think one of my favorite parts so far, I've been on the job just since January, and one of my favorite parts of this podcast has been talking with some of our board members who are female athletes themselves, who grew up in a generation where athletics looked so different for women than it did today, and some of these women were integral in starting, you know, one of the women has started wrote the first women's budget for athletics at UK, and you know, was part of that process. And so for me, it's just been fascinating to see, you know, some of those cultural things that we're fighting against when we're trying to promote physical activity across the lifespan.
These stories are so moving. I'm a fan of a Scottish podcast called Scotland Outdoors, and they recently interviewed the pioneering women in Scottish football, soccer, mm-hmm. who had to fight tooth and nail to get teams, many of whom had to go across the channel to France and Italy just to get a chance to play, and mm-hmm. now, of course, they're revered, but it was a big fight.
Yeah, and yeah. I think, you know, it's not been that long, but it's easy to forget how much things have changed, you know, when you see sports today, and women's sports are better than they've ever been. We have mm-hmm. more girls playing sports than there have ever been before, but we still see differences between girls and boys in their rates of physical activity and sometimes in their dropout of sport too. So we still have some work to do in making sure girls can be active for the lifetime.
My thanks today to Dr. Dee Dugonski for talking with me today about the UK Active Women's Health Initiative. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.